Well, hey friends, welcome to my teaching videos. This is day number two where I'm going to talk all week long about what it truly means to worship in spirit and in truth, exploring that. And today I'm going to really jump into the meat of this teaching, and then tomorrow I'll talk about more of the practicalities of how to do this. And I have to confess, I shared this yesterday, but I've heard that phrase, and you have too, most of you, for years and years and years. And it's literally like in the last matter of weeks, I've only begun to like connect the dots and go like, oh yeah, that's what that actually means. And I feel like I've really been missing so much of what Jesus was actually saying in that verse. So we'll jump into that in a moment. Two quick housekeeping things as normal. If you are new to my ministry, my name's Graham. I'm a British, French-American person, born in the UK. I have a home here in France where I lived for 20 years, now I live in the US. Lead a group of churches in New England, love Jesus. I'm passionate about the message of faith, the spirit-filled life, and what it truly means to overflow in God. I travel, lots of things. Hey, the best way of keeping in touch with me would be to sign up for my email newsletter. There'll be a link below, and we give a free gift to everybody who does that. And secondly, you know, a few years ago, the Lord told me to start doing YouTube videos every day. And I'll be honest, I did it for about 2 or 3 years, and people were not watching by the thousands. I think there's a time when the only people who were watching were my son and my dog. And even my dog was a shaky participant in the process. And, you know, I wanted to give up a bunch of times. And I just felt the Lord say, be faithful. And then I hit a place about 2 years ago where suddenly I began getting traction with this. And right now I have over 1 million subscribers to this channel, and that's subscribers in America and England, but most of my subscribers are actually, you know, all over the world. They're in Africa, in Asia, in Muslim nations. And what I love doing is recording videos like these, and then through paid ads, I'll put them on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, different places in front of people who would normally never hear this kind of teaching. So for every like $10 given, you know, to this ministry, I can put these videos in front of thousands and thousands of young men, especially because YouTube is a real young men's platform, who would never normally hear this message. So please pray, consider about signing up as a partner. There'll be a link below if you would like to do that. Boom. So let's talk about this. Let me read the scriptures I read yesterday because it's so pivotal. John 4:23 and 24 says, "The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Let's go back over that verses again. Jesus said, "The hour is coming, and now is." It's interesting, if you look at the Gospels, there's several times Jesus uses that phrase, or frankly a similar kind of phrase, "the time will come and now is, the hour is coming and now is." And in the kingdom of God, it's really important we see this. If you like, imagine there's our past, our present, and our future. Forgive me if you're just listening from audio, I'm like setting those things out visually, the past, the present, and the future. And in the kingdom of God, right now, we're situated in between the time that will come and the and now is. Yeah? What about our past? Your past does not belong to you. Jesus has dealt with your past. He took your past and He literally nailed it to the cross of Calvary. And your past does not belong to you. Your future belongs to you and your present belongs to you. It's interesting, you'll see this same concept in the writings of Paul again and again, where Paul will say things like things present and things yet to come. Paul talks about all the things that can't separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus in Romans 8, earthquakes, shipwrecks, Romans, Jews, whatever. Things present now and things yet to come. Time come and now is. In 2 Corinthians, I believe it's actually 1 Corinthians, but chapter 3. Paul talks about, you know, don't say I'm of Apollos or Cephas or this person or that. And he says, you are Christ. Everything is Christ. And then he says, everything is yours. what the world, life or death, things present and things yet to come belong to you. Your past does not belong to you, the present and the future. And we should be this, it's like I call it like a tomorrow people, a people of the future, but also a people of the now. We have one foot in the future and one foot firmly in the now. I'm living in the now, I'm dealing with the realities of the day in which I'm living, but I'm also one foot in eternity. I'm living fully as a citizen of heaven. Today, I'm living as a citizen of France. Both and, not either or. Hope that makes sense. So Jesus says the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshippers pause. Again, if there are true worshippers, one could legitimately say that there are false worshippers. Are there false worshippers? Yeah, there are. And again, this may stamp on a few toes, but I think we are all guilty at times of being false worshippers. I don't mean we're worshipping an idol, Baal, some terrible demonic thing. I think Jesus spoke about this in the Sermon on the Mount, where he was like, don't worship for the regard, the look of others. Where, you know, there's a part of all of us, and I want to help you out here by talking about myself. There's a part of all of us in our soul when we're worshiping, when other people are around, that it's actually rare that we are 100% locked in between ourselves and the Lord. Now, I'm not saying we're not connected or locked in with Him, but what most of us, if you're honest, tend to do is tend to, like, absolutely be connected to the Lord, but we're also, by definition, connected with what's going on in the room. We're watching what other people are doing. At some level, we're judging what other people are doing. Now, you say, no, Graham, I've never done that. Okay, awesome. You know, again, I'm not trying to be critical. I'm saying we do that. Sometimes we're impressed by what other people are doing. Sometimes we're depressed by what other people are doing. Sometimes we are, you know, judging them in their worship. I think what also goes on is for all of us, at least at times, in our, I'm talking about the soulish realm here, what happens is we worship with other people and we enter into this realm. Again, I don't think I've ever done this, or probably you've ever done this, where we're trying to be fake and simply worship for the appearance of others. But I think for all of us, when we're offering a sacrifice of worship to the Lord, we're also thinking, how will other people see this, measure this? I think there's a part of our soul that wants to impress other people. Not you, but everybody else. You know, there's a part of our soul that wants to be viewed as, ooh, you know, isn't he spiritual? Isn't she spiritual? And I think most of us live in this realm where there's actually, it's not either or and both and. Well, we really do love God. We really are worshiping him in the spirit, if you will. We are giving him true worship. And yet at the same time, we really are affected by, you know, what's happening around us, and we're sort of playing to the crowd, and we're playing to the Lord, if I can put it that way. Now again, if you think sincerely that's never once been true of you, then I'd love to meet you. God bless you. I mean, I lead worship. You know, it would be normal in my life, let's say America, where at least once a week, you know, sometimes more, sometimes less, but about that, I'm leading worship. I'm on the stage with a team of people. I'm leading a congregation. And you know, when I'm doing that, a whole bunch of things are going on. I mean, I'm leading the service at that point. I'm leading my team, singers, musicians, rhythm section, bass, piano, different things. I'm trying to lead the congregation in worship. I'm obviously thinking through I'm a guitarist, so let's say the chords or the chords I'm playing, the rhythm I'm playing, the finger picking I'm playing, the lyrics I'm singing. I'm thinking through the microphone I'm singing through. I'm thinking through the effects on these things. There's a whole bunch of things going on. Now, when I'm in that place, am I worshiping God? Yeah. But then, probably if I'm honest, when I'm in that place, at best, I get into that zone where I'm doing a lot of these other things, like a driver on autopilot, shifting gear. I'm doing them, but they're not grabbing my focus. But they're always holding some of my focus. So, what is a false? I think a false worshiper is one who only worships for the look of others, the regard, which is in French, of others, the opinions of others. A true worshiper is one who gets so lost in the Lord that it's only the Lord that counts. Again, I want to be honest, most of our shit somewhere in the middle. Yeah? Now, you may not see that, but I think that's actually very true and very real, and I think it's helpful to see that and then learn to deal with it. I think it's actually unhelpful if we go, no, I would never do that, I never have that problem, and I look at you and I go, yeah, okay, maybe, okay, if you say so. That's not how I see things. But here's what I want to get to today, what I want to think through. Again, for years I've heard people approach these verses and talk about, what does it mean, spirit and truth? It means to worship in the spirit. Again, let me just push back on some of my charismatic Pentecostal friends, and I'm one of you, I love you, that's my camp. But I think it's like, I've been in meetings, I used to be in a church where it felt like at the beginning of every service we try to warm people up. I mean, quite often we literally say, like, let's press into the spirit, let's move into the spirit, we're going to move out of the flesh into the spirit. We'd like, it was like revving in a dum-ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum. We'd try to like warm up our spirits and get into the spirit. You know, I think a lot of Pentecostal charismatic things, people, and again I'm one of them, think that worshiping in the spirit means singing in tongues. Again, I don't have the place to sort of expound and separate this out, but let me say a few things here that will really help you. And if that doesn't make sense, come back, ask me a question about that, and I can help you understand this more. But there's a difference between singing in tongues and singing in the spirit. There's a difference between speaking in tongues and speaking in the spirit. Now, speaking in tongues can be speaking in the spirit. Singing in tongues can be singing in the spirit. But it's possible to sing in the spirit and just be banging the cymbal. It's possible to be speaking in tongues and it just to be, I'm not saying it isn't an actual language, just to be noise. The difference is this: does it come from your spirit? You see, let me give you an illustration in English. If I sat here in this cafe, in this beautiful sunshine where I am today, saying the words out loud, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, like some robot, like some app on my phone or iPad, Jesus, I love you. Can I tell you, Jesus is not impressed. He doesn't get off his throne and come to Saint-Étienne, France to hear. He's not interested in the vocal sounds coming out of my mouth. My phone, my iPad, could sit here for 24 hours saying, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, I love you. I could go and buy a parrot or some talking bird and train it to say the words, Jesus, I love you. And like, it's just sound. That parrot doesn't know what it's actually saying. My AI system that I could tell to speak these words out loud doesn't know what it's actually saying. It knows how to make the sound waves that will produce that thing. And so often we're in a place where we're saying the right things, but it's not coming from my spirit. Now, let's go the other route. If I were to actually sit here and from my heart say, Jesus, I really love you. I love you. I truly love you. I mess it up at times, Lord, but I love you. Coming from my heart, not from... It's coming from my mouth, yeah, but it's starting in my heart, not from my mouth. Then that's... I'm actually speaking from my spirit, though. So, can you speak in tongues? I mean, I could... You know, my AI is going to have a really hard time transcribing that later. That's speaking in tongues. That is the gift of speaking in tongues. But I wasn't really putting my heart, the center of my being, my spirit man behind that. Now, if I were to do that from the overflow of my heart, that would be singing in the spirit. So there's singing in tongues and singing in the spirit. But I'm nearly out of time. Here's where I want to get to you guys in a way that has massively helped me. It's actually been coming back to the teaching of spirit, soul, and body. Now, many people have done much teaching on that. Frankly, the best teaching I've ever heard on this subject comes from the American Bible teacher Andrew Womack, and I'd really encourage you to read his book, Spirit, Soul, Body, his teaching. It in a way, put that in a clarity that I've never heard in any other stream of Christianity put. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5 talks about May the God of peace sanctify you wholly, completely. That means holy with a W-H-O-L-L-Y, not H-O-L-Y. Spirit, soul, and body. And again, I'm going to have to end this and we'll explore it more tomorrow. But what we need to understand is we are three distinct beings, our spirit, our soul, and our body. And I actually came to the realization that nearly all of the worship we do is soulish worship. That doesn't mean it's wrong. I think it's good to worship God with your body. It's good to sing, clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. It's good to, you know, dance. It's good to raise your hands. It's good to, you're worshiping God with your body. Okay. I think it's good that we bring the offering of our soul to the Lord, that we worship Him. My soul rejoices in God, my Savior. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Your feelings, your emotions, your mind, your will should be at the service of worshiping the Lord. But here's what's new to me and what I think I've only really recently began to see and set down. It's actually that concept that, let me put it this way, what I caught and got from that teaching with Andrew Womack, probably more than any others, is our spirit being is our core being. I have a soul, I have a body, but I am a spirit. And my spirit is the part of me that was recreated. I'm a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. My soul is not a new creation. My body is not a new creation, as you can tell. My spirit is a new creation. My spirit's in Christ Jesus. My spirit's seated in heavenly places. 1 Corinthians 6:17. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. I'm absolutely one with Jesus in the spirit. And in the spirit, I am, he's the vine, I'm the branch. That would be like saying he's the wire, he's the circuit, you know, electrical circuit, I'm the wire. Or we are absolutely one. There's no work to do. There's no getting into the spirit because you're always in the spirit. Paul said in Galatians 5, in Romans 8, you are not in the flesh, you are in the spirit. And then he said in Galatians 5, but if you live in the spirit, walk in the spirit. I am always in the spirit. I don't come in, I don't go out. I don't have to work it up, I don't have to feel it. I think so much of what we're trying to do in Western worship is all about feeling God, rather than truly learning to worship from our spirit man. I've got to end it here today, but tomorrow I'm going to talk about some of the things I've been doing recently to take those concepts and put them into action in my life. Boom. Thanks for watching thus far, my friends. Again, encourage you to sign up for our email newsletter, link below. And please do pray about becoming a partner. That would really be a blessing. I mean, a blessing to us, blessing to others, but I believe it would be a blessing to you. There's many things we spend money on these days. I think putting the gospel in front of people is probably one of the best things we can ever do. Selah. Boom. I'll be back tomorrow with more of this. Have a great day.